Tired of being baffled by healthcare policy? McGuire Woods Consulting presents Complications, Health Policy Unraveled, your solution to the policy puzzle. With our host, Stephanie Kennan, discover the ins and outs of healthcare policy and gain insights crucial for providers and investors. Let's simplify the complex together.
Hello, I'm Stephanie Kennan from McGuire Woods Consulting, and welcome to Complications, Health Policy Unraveled. Today, I'm going to discuss the Drug Enforcement Agency's telehealth proposed rules. On February 24, 2023, the Drug Enforcement Agency announced proposed rules for prescribing controlled substances via telemedicine in anticipation of the end of the COVID-19 public health emergency, which was on May 13th. The proposed rules were open for public comment for only 30 days, after which the DEA was to issue a final rule. However, the proposed rules that would require providers to see patients at least once in person before prescribing many of the controlled substances during telehealth visits received so many comments that the DEA decided to extend the current regulation, which doesn't require an in-person appointment until November 11th. The DEA received 38,000 comments on the proposed changes, a record amount of feedback. They also said patients who received controlled medications from prescribers they've never met in person will have until November 11, 2024 to come into compliance with the agency's future rules. The rule the DEA proposed is a complex rule with many technical features that will deeply affect some patients whose clinical care is dependent upon their medications. The DEA proposed creating two new limited options for telemedicine prescribing of controlled substances without a prior in-person exam. The options are complex and more restrictive than what would have been allowed for the past 3 years under the public health emergency waivers. The DEA's proposal will discontinue the ability for telemedicine prescribing of controlled substances where the patient never has any in-person exam, with the exception of an initial prescription period of no more than 30 days' supply. Moreover, if the patient requires a Schedule II medication or a Schedule III through V narcotic medication, with the sole exception of buprenorphine for opioid use disorder, an initial in-person exam is required before any prescription can be used. The initial reaction to the rules is that they are much more restrictive than necessary and impose concerning limitations and burdens on clinicians and the patients they treat. Supporters wrote that the proposal would balance the goals of increasing access to healthcare and helping prevent medication misuse. The DEA's proposed rules contain a provision that could help patients who can't travel to meet their telehealth prescriber. Instead, they could visit a local healthcare provider who then would write a special referral to the telehealth prescriber. But many commenters lamented that the rule would be hard on many rural residents trying to access controlled medications. The DEA apparently thought about making a rule for the rural patients, but decided against it. Some providers commented that the referral process seems confusing and requires additional record keeping. Some have raised the question of whether providers are less likely to write inappropriate prescriptions after an in-person appointment than after telehealth ones. The proposed federal rules also have a special allowance for buprenorphine, which is used to treat opioid use disorder and for many categories of non-narcotic controlled substances, such as testosterone, ketamine, and Xanax. For the last year, there have been repeated assurances by HHS, the DEA, SAMHSA, the Office of National Drug Control and Policy, and the White House that these buprenorphine patients will not fall off a telehealth cliff. Yet the DEA's rule will require these patients to have an in-person exam and block them from fully virtual telemedicine care. This includes those patients who are currently taking buprenorphine for medication-assisted treatment and who have not had a prior in-person exam. Providers would prescribe 30 days' worth of these medications after telehealth appointments before requiring patients to have an in-person appointment to extend the prescription. Tribal healthcare practitioners would be exempt from the proposal, as would Department of Veteran Affairs providers in emergency situations. Many expected the DEA to let prescribers apply for special permission to provide controlled medicine without an in-person appointment. Congress ordered the agency to create such a program in 2008, but it has not done so. The proposed rules fail to include a long-awaited telemedicine special registration regulation designed to allow certain clinicians the ability to prescribe controlled substances via telemedicine without conducting an in-person exam of the patient. The statutory basis for the proposed rule is the Ryan Haight Online Pharmacy Consumer Protection Act of 2008. It's also known as the Ryan Haight Act. That act prohibits the distribution, dispensing, or delivery of controlled substances via the internet without a valid prescription. It applies only in limited circumstances where the practitioner wishes to prescribe a controlled substance through telemedicine and has never conducted an in-person medical exam of the patient. The Ryan Haight Act requires a practitioner to conduct at least one in-person medical evaluation of the patient before prescribing a controlled substance by means of the internet. And the internet is a broadly defined term that includes telemedicine. Once the practitioner has conducted this in-person medical evaluation, the Ryan Haight Act does not set an expiration period or a minimum requirement for subsequent annual exams. Failure to conduct this in-person medical evaluation can constitute a violation of the Controlled Substances Act and result in civil and criminal penalties. The Ryan Haight Act also was designed to combat the proliferation of rogue internet sites that unlawfully dispense controlled substances by means of the internet, including online pharmacies offering controlled substances without a valid doctor-patient relationship. Yet the broad language of the Act applies not only to pharmacies, but also to legitimate practitioners who prescribe controlled substances through telemedicine. In the years since it was enacted, the DEA has used the Ryan Haight Act to regulate the marketplace, sanctioning practitioners and pharmacies whose unethical or substandard prescribing practices violated the law. The Ryan Haight Act contains 7 practice of telemedicine exceptions to the in-person medical evaluation requirement. There are 7 distinct categories Congress determined were appropriate to allow for telemedicine prescribing of controlled substances, despite the practitioner never having examined the patient in person. Some of the exceptions are suited to more institutional hospital kinds of arrangements, but most have limited use in contemporary telemedicine services, particularly direct-to-patient care when the patient is located at home. The 7 exceptions are treatment in a hospital or clinic, treatment in the physical presence of a DEA-registered practitioner, treatment by Indian Health Service or tribal practitioner, treatment during a public health emergency as declared by the Secretary of Health and Human Services, treatment by a practitioner who obtained a special registration, treatment by Department of Veterans Affairs practitioners during medical emergencies, and other circumstances that are specified in a regulation. That is kind of a catch-all exception. According to the DEA's statements, the proposed rule is designed to ensure that patients do not experience lapses in care and to ensure continuity of care under the current telehealth flexibilities in place of the COVID public health emergency flexibilities. Critics of the federal proposal are lobbying for exemptions for medications that can be difficult to obtain due to a lack of specialists in rural areas. Many of the public comments on the proposed rule focused on the importance of telehealth-based buprenorphine treatments in rural areas, including in jails and prisons. It is likely that when finalized, the rule will contain many of the elements of the proposed rule. This will make it more complex for patients and providers. And when it comes out, we will do a deep dive on how the rule will work. We expect that rule in late fall.
That wraps up this episode of Complications, Health Policy Unraveled, presented by McGuire Woods Consulting. We hope you've gained valuable insights into the healthcare policy issues we discussed today. Follow us in your favorite podcast app and never miss a healthcare update by subscribing to host and J.D. Supra's number one healthcare author, Stephanie Kennan's Washington Healthcare Update at MWCLLC.com. And if you found this podcast valuable, please share it with your colleagues and leave us a review. We always appreciate your feedback. To continue the conversation, send us an email at healthpolicy@MWCLLC.com.